It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
A summer vacation right in the middle of growing season. The very thought seemed to me the height of irresponsibility, particularly when I've been running eternally behind on everything needed to get done on the farm. A weekend to weekend break, twice as long as I've taken in the last 5 years, seemed risky. The prospect made me anxious. The vacation was timed for now because I wanted to accompany Eric, my boyfriend, to his beloved native city of Quebec and be introduced as his boyfriend to family and friends about whom I've heard so much. But that too was anxiety producing, leading to a cascade of concerns, both rational and irrational. Would my French be up to the task? Rational. Would the Canadians let me cross the border? Irrational. Would family and friends approve of me? Rational. Would the farm fall apart in my absence, even with trusty Steve farm sitting? The question may be whether it was together to begin with. As it turns out, I got through the border without issues, and I wrote this bulletin from Fossambeau-sur-le-Lac at the lovely country cottage of Eric's friend Michel. I've been able to hold conversations in effortful and fractured French, and to my great relief, have experienced nothing but welcome from Eric's family and friends. Indeed, Eric's brother-in-law, Julien, an agronomist, upon hearing that Eric referred to me as Marc le Fermier, Mark the farmer, stepped in to defend my honor by telling Eric, that the farmers he worked with considered fermier to be a pejorative term, and that they preferred to be called producteur agricole. Eric, though, having consulted with other urbanite friends who still viewed fermier as a somewhat romantic term, has decided to stick with Marc le Fermier. The farm did end up having its challenges in the form of a ewe presenting Steve with surprise twin lambs on Wednesday, 3 months after I thought lambing season was done, and promptly rejecting one of them. Steve had to struggle with colostrum replacement, bottle feeding, trying to get the mother to accept the lamb, and ultimately a visit to the vet. I expect that upon my return, I will be entering a bottle feeding regimen in which the lamb will determine that I, the new source of its milk, am its stepmother. One is naturally led to speculate about why the ewe has rejected the lamb. Is there something abnormal or unhealthy about him? Other than weakness, that doesn't seem to be true in this case. Does the mother lack sufficient milk for two? It's hard to tell. Is she just a bad mother with evil intent? Somehow, I doubt it. As he struggled to bring the lamb along, Steve has repeatedly observed that this little creature has a fierce will to live. As to the mother and the morality of her choice to favor one lamb over the other, he says the issue could occupy a rabbi in debate for hours. Whatever the lamb's fate, its ordeal, its fierce will to live, and its struggle to be accepted by its mother has provided a prism through which I've processed my time here in Quebec. In part, it has made the incredibly close bonds between Eric and his mother and sisters, and his decades-long friendships, all the more affecting. But in greater measure, it is the lamb's fierce will to live that has shaped my perception of Eric's world and that of his Quebecois compatriots. Quebec City is a remarkably preserved walled city formed in the 17th and 18th centuries. Newer structures that have been introduced are mostly in good taste and well integrated. As Eric has shown me the places here that shaped his life, including the Seminaire, his high school in continuous operation since the 1600s, the Conservatoire, his drama school, churches, restaurants, including the one his parents owned, and bars, in large part all in buildings hundreds of years old, his pride has been evident. It requires an exceptional dedication to maintain this level of preservation in a modern, evolving economy. One realizes very quickly that the dedication reflects not an abstract interest in historic preservation, but a national pride. It's not structures that are being preserved, it's a heritage. The dedication to heritage is equally apparent in preservation of the Quebecois language. The Quebecois live in a vast sea of English speakers, and many are quite comfortable in English, yet they prefer to function in all aspects of life in their mother tongue. They'll be gracious and speak to you in English if necessary, but the language and their heritage and identity are inextricably linked, and they're not about to give it up. At a moment in history when Ukrainians are being killed and their historic structures destroyed in a Russian effort to eliminate their national identity and heritage, one cannot resist the urge to cheer on the people of Quebec in their fierce will to nurture and maintain their distinct language and culture. Throw in a dedication to eating well, drinking generously, and living a vivacious social life, and I can't imagine a more agreeable world to get to know than Eric's Quebec. A wonderful way to learn that I could leave the farm in midsummer. That was the first piece. Here's the second. Marky has a little lamb whose fleece is black as coal. And everywhere that Marky goes, that lamb is sure to go. As predicted, thanks to the medical expertise of vet Gillian Ferguson and the deeply personal attentions of kindly concerned farm sitter Steve, I returned from my Canadian sojourn with my boyfriend Eric to assume a new role, stepmother to one of the lambs born in my absence. As you may recall, midway through my week in Quebec, a ewe gave birth to twins, a female, a ewling, and a male, a ramling. It was a surprise 3 months after the rest of the flock had lambed. The mother has been a loving nurturer to the ewling, but promptly rejected the ramling, who was saved only through Steve's and ultimately Jillian's intervention. Jillian bestowed the name Doodle on her patient. We've debated an appropriate and consistent name for the twin. I favor Kaka to go with Doodle, while Erica suggested Google. Taking on the role of bottle feeding parent is no small commitment. Though we're down to 4 feedings a day from 6, and will further reduce the frequency of feedings while upping the quantity at each meal over the next couple of weeks, for now it's impossible to leave the farm for more than 6 or 7 hours at a time. Beyond the immediate challenge of frequent feedings, there's also the challenge of starting a lifelong connection. There are 2 previously bottle-fed sheep still here on the farm. Nilifer, at 14, is the senior ewe, and she has a strong sense of entitlement to special treatment. Sophie, now 3.5 years old, approaches, anxious to be petted, whenever I enter the barn. These sheep never seem to forget their special link with humans. It complicates for matters a bit that Doodle is a male. For the most part, the males born here are either sold as breeding animals or slaughtered for meat. Steve, however, made me promise that any lamb that had shown such a strong urge to live and that had slept on his chest would be kept alive and remain a member of the herd. To do that, we will band his testicles to make him a wether. Weathering is necessary, in my opinion, for 2 reasons. First, I don't want to create a permanent source of inbreeding. And second, I don't want to leave a male who has no fear of humans sexually intact. In my experience, it's precisely those rams who have no fear, who we've been most friendly with, who become behavioral problems, seeking to exert dominance over us humans. They can become quite dangerous, charging you with their incredibly hard heads and big horns. The instinct for domination diminishes considerably when they lose their testicles and consequently most of their testosterone production. Because we're banding Doodle's testicles in hot weather, we'll have to be very careful to monitor his health. He had inadequate colostrum intake at birth, weakening his immune system and making him vulnerable to infection. For the next couple of days, Doodle will continue living in a dog crate on the screen porch. This is to ensure that he imprints principally on me and does not try to resume his efforts, so roughly rebuffed in his first couple of days, to nurse on his actual mother. I think the imprinting is already well underway. Whenever he's let out of the crate, Doodle is immediately right on my heels. I cannot walk anywhere without him following so closely that I'm in danger of tripping over him. The lyrics to Mary Had a Little Lamb are not the products of someone's fevered imaginings. They perfectly represent what happens when one adopts a newborn lamb. On the other hand, I'm not so sure the imprinting is entirely personal to me. Thursday, Doodle came into the kitchen as three of us, me, Eric, and friend Tom, were each engaged in various tasks to get dinner ready. We were moving around a lot. I was spending a great deal of time going back and forth to the smoker in the backyard where I was grilling skewered pork and zucchini. Eric was assembling a German potato salad in the kitchen, and Tom was restoring dishes and glasses to various cabinets from the dishwasher and walking back and forth between the kitchen and the screen porch to set the table for dinner. I noticed that if I walked past Eric or Tom, Doodle could just as readily peel off and begin following one of their sets of ankles, just as well as he could stick with me. Any port in a storm. You may think this behavior is just a matter of going where the food is, but the imprinting is clearly something both broader and deeper. Doodle is overjoyed to come to you when his bottle is about to be served, but is equally intent on following after he's drunk his fill. And he appears to have his greatest moments of contentment simply in sleeping at your feet. The instinct seems at least as much about security as about hunger. Out in the herd, it's standard that lambs sleep next to their mothers long after they're weaned. So here I am, entering into yet another significant relationship late in life. This one may not have been sought after, but I don't anticipate that will make the bond any less strong, or indeed diminish any other existing bonds. It demonstrates yet again how fundamental an instinct it is to bond with others, and how wonderfully expandable our world of affection can be.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.